I know it's here somewhere.
Finally.
Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. And only a day late this time. Better than a dollar short.
We hope you enjoy the show.
Oh, yes, as always, we hope you enjoy the show, because if you don't, well, you'll go elsewhere, and then where would we be? Actually, we'd still be just where we are, because you're just stuck with me. What can I say? Well, anyway, we do have some things lined up today. One of the things we don't have lined up today, however, is the Game Master segment. We had technical issues. Yes, you see, the Game Master and I did an entire segment, and I am told by impartial critics that it was, in fact, glorious. However, my equipment messed up. Serious bummer. You know, we've had a lot of problems with the Game Master segment, and it's all because somewhere out there, there is an open source programmer that is missing it. They're missing a glorious opportunity. If they would just create a LAN-based voice over IP solution that does not require a website somewhere off in England, like Skype, or somewhere in some other part of the world, but just does peer-to-peer voice cleanly without having to push a key before you talk, where you could actually just hold a conversation like you would on a telephone, and it would be clear and crisp and not have latency introduced by having to go across the internet, just basic LAN-to-LAN, or not even LAN-to-LAN, LAN-only recording, then life would be good. Somebody needs to get on that. Now, if you know of that, if something like that already exists, you're doing better than me, because I have searched and searched and searched, and the few that I can find don't work. They are dogs with fleas. Oh my goodness. Anyway, please somebody write that. I mean, there's all kinds of applications. In business, you could have all the PCs in your on your network. You could have people talking to each other in conferences right over. And you don't have to have video. I mean, what are you going to look at some guy staring into a webcam, same picture the whole time? Why bother? Just the voice. Clean, crisp, clear. That's all we ask. And think about gamers playing each other on their PCs on a LAN. They can yell at each other, "What are you doing, you idiot?" All that kind of stuff, right over the LAN. "Hey, dude, I got you, man. You've been on." You know, that kind of stuff. Why not? Now, I know that that's built into some games, but let's have an independent one, and preferably one that will record the conversation so that we can use it on the podcast. Anyway, call it the Computer Curmudgeon's Request for Project, an RFP, to go out and create this software and then send me the link so that I can download it and use it. Anyway, so, I suggested to the Game Master that we could always do it over Skype, to which he said, meh. Which is what he usually says when he doesn't want to do something and has moved on to other things. It bummed me out, but what can I say? All right, let's look at some of the cool news items that we have for you. Actually, before we do that, let's do a couple of other things. You know, jump right into the news. That's not a good thing. After all, we need to remind you of a few things like...
This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network.
TechPodcasts.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
If it's tech, it is right here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, which is, of course, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Speaking of the Tech Podcast Network, through the venue of the Tech Podcast Network, we have some awesome advertisers that have joined with the Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon podcast to spread the silliness throughout the entire planet. Gotta love that. Anybody that would do that, that would help spread Dr. Bill to the masses, you just gotta support these guys. Who are they, you might ask? Why, Citrix Systems, of course, near and dear to my heart as a Citrix System Administrator. But Citrix Systems has a program that would be of tremendous benefit to you, and that is Go to My PC. You need to check that out. Now, right on my website, drbill.cc, that's drbill.cc, if you go to that website, go right over to the right side, there's a little icon thingy, this talking about Go to My PC. If you click on that, you will get a 30-day, not 3-day, 30-day, an entire month free trial of Go to My PC. Dude, how cool is that? So click on it, download it, install it on a PC, and you'll be able to get to it from anywhere on the net. Now, the very cool technical side of this is awesome to me. To be able to go through your router, through port 80, which is open anyway, to get your web fix, goes right through there and then allows you to connect to your PC inside the network, of course with a username and password, obviously, and it rocks. So you need to try that out. The other thing, of course, is that if you are looking for a web registrar, to create your own website, maybe even host your own website, but particularly to register a domain name, man, you need to do what I do. Go to GoDaddy.com. And if you scroll to the bottom of the website, drbill.cc, drbill.cc, which of course is for computer curmudgeon, by the way, if you scroll all the way to the bottom, there's a little banner down there that says... Save 10% on our world-class web hosting with the world's largest host name provider. Guaranteed 99.9% uptime. Basically, that makes allowances for giant asteroids hitting the Earth. But other than that, it will be up all the time. Dude! So click on that and get 10%, a 10% discount. Off of web hosting through GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy. All right. I ought to do my own little, you know, have background singers back there. GoDaddy. But I don't, alas. Oh, well. Anyway, those are some of the cool things, among many, that being a member of the Tech Podcast Network will do for you. How is that? Getting to be part of... Very cool advertising, you know, sharing all kinds of technical information. We constantly are emailing each other with all kinds of cool things that are happening and also things that are kind of not so cool that are going around the net. That way we can inform you and tell you what's happening. And some of our tech podcasters are characters, you know, like me, for one. But there's also one called the Big O. Check out the Big O on the Techno Fodder podcast.
Ready, aim, fire!
Techno Fodder!
Hey, my name is Big O, and I want to invite you to subscribe to my podcast, Techno Fodder. I cover the latest in tech news, the world of podcasting. I give practical tutorials to help you improve your podcasting skills, and I have a special promo segment. If you play my promo, I'll play yours. And each week, I pick a few promos to review and critique. You think your promo has what it takes? Are you tired of podcasts that don't give you any practical information? Are you ready to hear some bite-sized tech nuggets that go boom? Well, then head to technofodder.com and subscribe today.
You got some on me, Sue.
Oh, you gotta love a guy that is that weird, right? And bite-sized technical nuggets that go boom? Dude, I'm there. So, there you go. The Big O with the Techno Fodder Podcast. Yes. All right. Well, I tell you what, why don't we just have some geek culture? Yeah, why not? Had a friend of mine email me this yesterday. Now, let me set this up a little bit. The thing about this particular geek culture is, you can tell it's a letter that's been circulating the internet for some time, and there's one particularly good clue in this geek culture that will identify it as something that is dated. Can you find what it is? Listen very closely, and when you hear it, stick your hand up and go, ooh! Ooh, ooh, Dr. Bill, I found it. And I'll recognize you, and then you can tell us all. Okay, maybe you can't. It's a podcast. But do it anyway. You'll feel good. Yeah. Okay, let's enjoy this geek culture. As I said, sent to me via email, and it brightened my day. It's all about idiots. You meet idiots everywhere, right? Well, here are instances, that's hard to say, of idiots out there in the world. Here we go. Idiots in service. This week, our phones went dead. Check it. Our phones went dead. And I had to contact the telephone repair people. They promised to be out between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. When I asked if they could give me a smaller time window, the very pleasant gentleman said, "Would you like us to call you before we come?" I replied that I didn't see how he'd be able to do that since our phones weren't working. He also requested that we report future outages by email. Does your email work without a telephone line? Ooh, 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 mine does. Yeah, you caught it. Obviously somewhat dated. Predates broadband. Because if you have your broadband service, say, through your cable provider, your telephone could be down, and you'd still have internet. I'm glad you caught that. You're paying attention. I like that. Okay, next idiot. I was signing the receipt for a credit card purchase when the clerk noticed that I'd never signed my name on the back of the credit card. Ooh, bad. Shame, shame. She informed me that she could not complete the transaction unless the card was signed. When I asked why, she explained that it was necessary to compare the signature I just signed on the receipt with the credit card. So, I signed the credit card in front of her. She carefully compared the signature to the one I just signed on the receipt, and as luck would have it, they matched. Duh. Yeah. Okay, idiots in the neighborhood. I live in a semi-rural area. Now, for those of you in Rio Linda, that's out in the country. We recently had a new neighbor call the local township administrative office to request the removal of the deer crossing sign on our road. The reason? Too many deer were being hit by cars and she didn't want them to cross there anymore. Like the deer? Read the sign? Come on, people! Oh, man. These people are just so silly. Okay. Idiots in food service. Feels like there should be this, you know, this flare of music. Idiots in food service. Ta-ta! Anyway. My daughter went to a local Taco Bell and ordered a taco. She asked the person behind the counter for minimal lettuce. He said he was sorry, but they only had iceberg lettuce. Yeah. Okay. you know, don't ask for minimal lettuce. Ask for less of that green stuff. Okay? That'll help. Okay, idiot sighting number two. That was number one. This is number two. The stoplight on the corner buzzes when it's safe to cross the street. You know how you come up to an intersection and there's a button there to press that you want to cross the street and it changes the traffic lights after a cycle? Well, it buzzes when that occurs. Let's keep reading. I was crossing the street with a coworker of mine when she asked if I knew what the buzzer was for. I explained that it signals blind people that the light is red. Appalled, she responded, "What on earth are blind people doing driving?" Yeah. Idiot sighting number three. As a goodbye luncheon for an old and dear co-worker who was leaving the company due to downsizing. Now, that would imply, of course, that the person didn't want to leave. They were being kicked out because of downsizing. Don't you just love the word downsizing? It's so, you know, kind of kinder and gentler than we're kicking your rear end out of here. Yeah. Anyway, the manager commented cheerfully, "This is fun. We should do this more often." Not a word was spoken. We all just looked at each other with that deer in the headlights stare. Yeah. Idiot sighting number four. I work with an individual who plugged her power strip. Get a picture of it. A power strip. With all the outlets right there on it. Plugged the power strip back into itself. And for the life of her, couldn't understand why her system wouldn't turn on. You know, I have a saying for people like that. People like that shouldn't have computers. Finally, idiot sighting number five. When my husband and I arrived at an automobile dealership to pick up our car, we were told the keys had been locked in it. We went to the service department and found a mechanic working feverishly to unlock the driver's side door. As I watched from the passenger side, I instinctively tried the door handle and discovered that it was unlocked. "Hey," I announced to the technician, "it's open." To which he replied, "I know, I already got that side open." Okay. Not clear on the concept. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to our geek news of the week. First of all, we've got a great new release of Dirtcaster. And as you know, I am the maintainer for the open source project called Dirtcaster. And our intrepid PHP programmer, Henry Ratliff, is constantly adding cool new features to it. We kind of gotten it pretty much stable, and there hadn't been a lot of features added in months and months and months. And then, you remember I talked about the Tech Podcast Network a little while ago? Well, they have a new feature that allows you to get your statistics through techpodcast.com if you put a particular piece of code in the RSS feed. Basically, what it does is when you download a file, it notifies them, whoop, a file's been downloaded. They put a little mark on their computer blackboard, so to speak, and then it downloads the file to you. Pretty slick. But it meant adding their code in to the RSS feed. Well, the beauty of Dirtcaster is it creates the RSS feed on the fly automatically without you having to do anything. But it also means that if I need to add this little piece of code in, yeah, I've got to put it in Dirtcaster in order for it to be generated. Well, Henry very quickly, as he usually does, just he's an amazing guy, added that feature in, and now it's a feature for Dirtcaster. So we released version .09c. C meaning a very minor release for this additional feature. So if you're using a Tech Podcast or Blueberry Stats program, then you have the capability of adding it in to Dirtcaster. Dude, all right. So check that out. That is at Dirtcaster dircaster.org. Okay. Big name sign up with an iTunes rival. Looks like iTunes will have a bit of competition, which is good, I say. I mean, hey, competition is a good thing. Some of the world's biggest record labels, including Universal and Sony BMG, have begun selling music through a new download service challenging Apple. Customers can buy tunes through GBox, at the same price charged by market leader iTunes, 99 cents a track. Good for them. I personally don't buy music that way, but hey, you know, that's just me. I tend to use PodSafe music. Yeah. All right, Geek Software of the Week. Oh my goodness, I forgot the drum roll. Woo, there it is. Boy, that was close. Ah, man, almost forgot the drum roll. Anyway, Geek Software of the Week, JWFLV player.
Huh?
You ask, what is an FLV player? Well, an FLV file is a flash file. In other words, flash video on the web. Flash. Wrong kind of flash. Never mind. Okay. Flash on the web is what delivers things like YouTube videos and all of those other cool, geeky things that we love so much. So, what you need if you want to have flash on your website, actually two things you need. One thing you need is a flash player. And if you have to actually get a flash player and pay good money for it, that is bad. I like free. So the Jaron, boy, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. Jaron Werning. Never mind. Anyway, this guy, he's just this guy, you know? This guy wrote an FLV player. And it's free, which is good. And he's got all kinds of features in there. Playlists where you can play multiple files, and the ability to add in a tag, and the ability to add in commercials. You might say, well, I don't want to add in commercials. Well, that's okay, you don't have to. But if you wanted to, you could have a pre-roll commercial, you could have an after-roll commercial. Dude, you got all kinds of features in this thing. It is cool, and it is free. Gotta love that. Alright, now for another bit of funny business. I couldn't help but blog this week. I was listening on the radio to one of my favorite radio personalities. And as they were talking, they were talking about the difference between cats and dogs. I'm not sure how they got into it, but you know, sometimes you just stumble into these things. And being a former radio personality myself, and now a podcast personality, I can appreciate that you digress quite a bit. You've heard me digress on occasion. Anyway, talking about dogs and cats, he says, yes, there is a difference between cats and dogs. Dogs have masters. Cats have staff. And as the proud possession of a cat myself, I do know that cats have staff. Yes. And occasionally, she'll even let me pet her on the head. Yes. Okay. Next item was that I'm running late with the podcast. In fact, 1 week, 1 day late. Okay. Stick your hand out. I'm sorry. Okay. Next item. Pull over, buddy. You broke the law. The speed of light, that is. Now, here's what I said about this news item. Wow. I mean, if it's true, wow. Here's what the news item says. A pair of German physicists claim to have broken the speed of light, an achievement that would undermine our entire understanding of space and time. Now, other than that, it's not a big deal. It undermines our entire understanding of space and time. According to Einstein's special theory of relativity, I'm reading again, it would require an infinite amount of energy to propel an object at more than 186,000 miles per second. That's an approximate figure. It's actually slightly larger than that, but that's okay. However, Dr. Gunther Nimitz and Dr. Alphonse Stahlhofen of the University of Koblenz in Deutschland say that they have may have a... Let's back up. Okay, let's try it again. They say they may have reached... No, I still got it wrong. Let's back it up. Try it again. They may have breached a key tenet of that theory. Breached. Who uses the word breached in a sentence? Okay. Airlocks breached. Yeah, okay. Maybe they do. All right. They breached a key tenet of that theory. The pair say they have conducted an experiment in which microwave photons with a pH, much like the proper name Fred with a pH. Okay. Boy, I'm having a hard time reading this. An experiment in which microwave photons, energetic packets of light, traveled instantaneously, in quotes, between a pair of prisms that had been moved up to 3 feet apart. 3 feet instantaneously. Being able to travel faster than the speed of light would lead to a wide variety of bizarre consequences. For instance, I got to get an appointment with Granny to prune the tongue. There's no doubt about it. Okay. Focus. Let's try it again. Being able to travel faster than the speed of light would lead to a wide variety of bizarre consequences. For instance, an astronaut moving faster than it would, than it, the speed of light. I think this is just poorly written. What about you? An astronaut moving faster than it would theoretically arrive at a destination before leaving. Now, that would cause complications of all kinds because you might not be able to carry on your luggage. Okay. The scientists were investigating a phenomenon called quantum tunneling. That just sounds cool. Quantum tunneling. Kind of reminds me of the Quantum Leap TV program. He also got places that he was not before he left. Sometimes. Anyway. Boy, this whole item is digressing terribly. Which allows subatomic particles to break apparently unbreakable laws. Dr. Nimitz told New Scientist magazine, for the time being, this is the only violation of special relativity that I know. That's a quote. Oh, boy, that was tough. That was a hard one. Alrighty, next item. Windows Server 2008 has been delayed. Well, there you go. Not exactly news. Windows Server 2008, of course, is the Longhorn edition. That's their code name for it. Of the new Windows Server platform, replacing Windows 2003. In case you're wondering, 2003 is a long time ago in the computer world. So this has been a much anticipated release of the server operating system. And they decided to call it Windows Server 2008 because the idea was that they were going to release it at the end of 2007 and that everybody would go into 2008 with a brand new server operating system. Well, guess what? In the clearest sign that not all is well in the state of Redmond, Microsoft cheerfully announced this morning that the release date for Windows Server 2008 is being pushed back to Q1 of 2008. So we'll go a whole quarter in 2008 without having Windows Server 2008. Citing the delay as part of an open and honest dialogue about the development process of the product of this magnitude, yeah. A spokesperson for the Windows Server development team posted on its company blog this morning just after 11 a.m. Eastern Time that Windows Server 2008 will likely be one of the features of a rollout event that is scheduled for February 27th, originally slated to feature Visual Studio 2008 and SQL Server 2008. Steal some of their thunder, huh? The reason, the spokesperson said, has something to do with barbecue. What? Why? Well, as you know, Microsoft's first priority is to deliver a great product to our customers and our partners, the spokesperson wrote. And while we're very happy with the feedback we've been getting and the overall quality of the latest product builds, we'd rather spend a little more time to meet the high-quality bar that our customers and partners expect and deserve. Then quoting something program manager Alex Hingricks told her, she added, "It's like brisket. It needs a little more time to bake." Can you say it's a half-baked operating system? I went a long way to get to that line. Oh, boy. Anyway, next item. Warning, be careful what you post. The man may be after you. Now, first of all, let me give you a little background to this particular post. Back in the year 2005, I posted a little weird email that I got just for the fun of it called Pass the Butter. It was all about how margarine was supposed to be only one molecule away from plastic and how that margarine was developed to feed turkeys to fatten them up. And I thought it was just a funny little cute thing, so I posted it on the web and said, "I don't know about this. What do you think?" Well, guess what? The Margarine Protection League, not their real name, sent me a cease and desist letter, an official registered letter, warning me to correct one of my blog posts from over 2 years ago. Yeesh. Whatever happened to First Amendment rights? Whatever happened to I can say anything I want to on my blog because it's a blog? Nobody said it was gospel, dude. It's just a blog. Anyway, they were not happy. And so here's what I said in my blog about their cease and desist letter. Today I received a cease and desist official registered letter warning me to correct one of my old circa 2005 blog posts. Please note that at the time of the post in 2005, I saw the letter in the post as an interesting internet email that was circulating at the time. As you read in the post itself, I did not attest to its accuracy at all. I said that as a certified natural health professional, I believe that butter is much healthier for you, and I stand by that. But there are those that say that as a natural health guy, I'm a loon anyway, so what do I know? The letter was from the Margarine Protection Squad, not their real name, but an industry group nonetheless, and they referred me to the American Health Association and such like. Like that would impress a renegade natural health guy like me anyway. Anyway, there's a link to the Snopes statement correcting the letter that was circulating back then, which I did post here. Only as an isn't this wild view of computer circulated stuff. Yeesh. The things people get in an uproar about. So I have a link to the Snopes correction, and I have a link to the Break the Chain Letter Correction Site article, Urban Legend Debunking. So, A, this is not written by me. It is a flaky internet email that I thought was interesting. And B, I'm a little old computer nerd with a computer interest blog. Anything I believe about butter versus margarine is simply my personal opinion anyway. So does the man get to control my opinion? Well, since I don't want any lawsuits and I don't personally care about the topic anyway, I disavow all knowledge and think that the letter that was circulated via email was a crock. So there. I didn't write it. I got it in a spam message. Please don't sue me. Please. Please don't sue me. Okay. Grovel, grovel. I should put grovel, grovel there at the end of that post. Forgot that. Oh, well. Anyway, there you go. Please, Mr. Margarine Defense people, don't sue me. Okay. Okay. I mean, you can tell how sincere I am, right? Right? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, by the way, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF, they're out to destroy people like you that want to regulate the internet and crush public opinion. And I have their telephone number and their website address. So don't mess with me. Okay, anyway, I ran over time. It's because I got incensed over the man trying to destroy my blog. Now, let me say this. If that post does happen to disappear, It's because I really don't want to be sued, okay? So, if you think, you know, that I cave and all that kind of stuff, then, well, maybe I just will, okay? Then we'll see, won't we? Okie dokie. Well, anyway, it's just about that time again, isn't it? To be heading on out of here. Oh, yeah, there's the music. I can hear it now. Yep, there it is. So you know what that means, don't you? The doctor is out of here.